So once you get your exercise going,
your activity,
and you get that right combination of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and proteins, and you see you're making progress towards your goal, you need to also consider what kind of lifestyle changes you need to put in place to keep that weight off. Because anybody who's trying to lose weight knows how hard it is and how time consuming it is. And it's so much easier to put the weight on than to take it off.
Most definitely. Good afternoon, Wellness Connection podcasters. We're here in Baltimore, sunny and hot. It's like approximately 60 degrees here today. We're just enjoying it. We don't even know how to dress because tomorrow it may be 30. Well, I would like to open up and welcome our podcast guest today. Her name is Dimitri Whitmore. She's a registered dietitian and licensed dietitian in D.C. Welcome.
Thank you. And I'm really glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, we're very happy to have you here. Dimitri agreed to join us here today in our Nutrition Month, and she wants to discuss with us about a very interesting and hot topic, weight loss. So could you please begin to share with us what you have? Some good news, I hope.
Well, one question that I frequently get asked is, what's the difference between a dietitian and a nutritionist? And so a dietitian tends to have a more credentialed background. I got a 4-year bachelor's degree from the University of Maryland. And then after that, I did a 1-year internship at the VA Medical Center in East Orange, New Jersey. Mm. And then I had to pass a national certification exam.
So you're a Terp is what you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Go Terps.
Y'all scared of them? Y'all fearing turtles out there? Ain't nobody scared of a turtle. What drew you to that? Like, what drew you to the field of being a dietitian specifically? Was there like a...
Absolutely. I had a moment when I was in 7th grade, my hair started falling out. So I was really bookish back then, and I went to the library and I got all these books on like hair care and what to do to make your hair grow. 10 books. I read all 10. And it was the 10th book called Super Hair that talked about how nutrition impacts the health of your hair and how it can grow along with your genetics. That book made the most sense to me. And from that point on, I wanted to know how food could impact my health through my entire body.
Okay.
Very nice.
So you had to, the edges started being kind of funny, so you had to...
It wasn't just my edges.
Okay. Okay. Well, you walking around here with that baby hair looking like Spud Webb.
Oh my God.
You remember Spud Webb? You remember how he had his edges like that?
I don't even know who that is.
Y'all look up Spud Webb. Anthony Spud Webb. He played for the Atlanta Hawks. Basketball player. But he had baby hair back in the, like, he was a dude that had baby hair.
Interesting. Was it a cute look?
You could be the judge. I'll let you look it up on your own time. Right. So you was like, man, why is my hair falling out?
Absolutely. I wanted to know, and I really wanted to do something about it. And I wanted guaranteed success. Because back then, you know, you're adolescent. You want to look cute.
Right, because they're going to let you have it out there.
Oh, yeah, no. Most definitely. You in elementary school, you had to fit in.
So, you know, I wanted to make sure that I could grow a healthy head of hair so that I could get any style I wanted so the boys would look.
Right, so did you have the mushroom... Did you ever do the mushroom look? That look? That salt and pepper look?
I'm not going to let you date me.
Okay. Now
you're going to give away my age.
No. I'm just running.
I'll tell you.
I'm just running. Right.
Let's
see.
Right.
I don't know much about
it. She had a fly hair.
It was fly?
Yes.
After a while, it was fly.
Right. It had a lot of body.
Thanks to Super Hair.
It had a lot of body because there's a lot of looks at certain points of times where, you know, having a lot of real full look.
Yeah, that was the point too, where sisters were getting their hairs like blow dried, real straight, so mm-hmm. that it would Uh-oh. Bounce and flow.
Oh, trying to get that Aaliyah, that bone
yeah,
straight.
All that.
At first, you don't succeed.
All of that was going for all of that.
Okay.
So, but
we're gonna figure it out.
I know.
We're gonna reverse. We're gonna let something slip, and then they're gonna be like,
"Would you? Do I have to pull out a picture so you can see how
my hair was?" No. We're gonna make that the album art. If you got a picture of you from seventh grade, we can make that the special album art of this episode.
Oh, love it. Like, you know. I don't know about all that.
People want to know.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Before and after. Okay. So yeah, that's so from seventh grade when you realize that the food that I'm eating is having that type of impact.
Yeah, when I realized that the food could have a profound impact, not just on how I looked, but how you feel, mm-hmm. Your ability to study and think and learn. Mm-hmm. From then on, everything I did was geared towards a profession in nutrition. And I mean everything. Every job I got was in some food or nutrition-related field. I volunteered. Any extracurriculars, it was all related to nutrition.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's what I'm hearing is that the energy, the will, and the knowledge of learning nutrition affected every aspect, every dimension in your life.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was kind of obsessed. And my friends knew because I was, you know, counseling people and counting their calories.
Right.
And,
oh, okay. So you were, that was like, everybody like, oh, here we go.
I know. Exactly.
Right.
Leave me alone.
People didn't want to eat around me because right. they knew I would be looking at their plates.
Right.
But it was.
Everybody loves that. I'm pretty sure that made you really popular. Because in my experience, people love to be judged.
You know what? Back then, it didn't make me popular, but now it's like
people seek it out.
They really yeah, do. Right, they really yes. want that advice, that counseling, yes. that information.
That's yes. like so. The Mike Jones effect.
Who is Mike Jones?
Back then, they didn't want me.
Oh.
Now I'm hot. They all want me. Back then, they didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all know me.
Back then, they didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all know me. So tell us a little bit about what you do and how you impact the community today as a registered dietitian.
Okay, so currently I'm self-employed. I have a nutrition consulting business called Healthy Attitude. I provide nutrition services to people with disabilities. So all of my patients have some type of intellectual or developmental disability, and then most of them also have some type of physical disability. And my patients require all types of nutrition services. I've got people with heart disease, people with kidney disease, people with high blood pressure, diabetics. I've got some who receive tube feedings. So you name it, I've got it. Some my youngest patients are in their early 20s, and then my oldest patient is in his 90s.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. And so that's a very particular target market. What made you interested in persons with disabilities?
Well, that's something that I just sort of fell into. Mm-hmm. I started out working in hospitals, intensive care, a cancer unit. And then at a certain point, I guess you could say, I just burned out. And I thought I wanted to be something different. I thought I wanted to be a massage therapist.
That's interesting.
So I studied massage and became a massage therapist. And then somebody asked me if I would do some nutrition consulting for their group home company. And took a little convincing, but I went to the group home and did the consulting and realized that I loved it. Mm-hmm. I still wanted to be a nutritionist. I just had to find my space.
Yes.
And so with that, I've just expanded. And now I have about 150 people that I provide services for. And every day is wonderful. I really love what I do. And it's very rewarding working with people with disabilities because it seems like the results that I get are somehow larger are bigger because this population needs it so much.
Mm-hmm. And working as an occupational therapist, I would agree. They are a unique, isolated group of population in the community that also has an impact in the community. They're part of us. So yes, I would agree. And I see the specialness and requires a special person who would actually draw to such a unique population. Yeah. So yeah,
it does, because, you know, they communicate in a different way. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be willing to listen to understand what they need.
Yes, and that's correct, because a lot of times they can't communicate in the standard form that we know it. Their communication can be expressed in so many different ways, non-verbally, through physical gesturing, maybe through broken word. So yes, you have to tap in and really listen carefully to understand their needs. Yeah. And also to engage them in changing their lifestyle.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Very good. Thank you. So, but you have something special for the rest of the population in our community, and that's called weight loss. Now, that's a very hot topic, okay? Because it impacts not only how one feels, but it also impacts the number one killer in the world, which is heart disease. Do share.
Okay. So, I really wanted to focus on weight management today because that's the next most frequent question people ask me when they find out I'm a dietitian. I need a dietitian. How can I lose weight? So I just wanted to cover some of the basics and maybe try to approach it in sort of a different angle, mm-hmm. So that people can have success with their weight management.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but may I ask, when you say success with weight management, can you define that or have the audience understand what you mean by success?
Okay, so success can mean different things to different people. Everyone does not need to lose weight, but I always say if you're uncomfortable, be it you have some kind of condition, maybe arthritis or diabetes or high blood pressure, or if you have difficulty moving around because of your weight, then success would be relieving the discomfort or being able to move easier. For some people, they want to lose weight just so that they can fit into a certain outfit, or because they want to look better. So if you're able to get into that outfit, then that's success for you. So success means different things for different people. From a health professional standpoint, I'm all about improving conditions or eliminating the need for medication. So if losing 20 or 30 pounds is going to get you off that blood pressure medication, or make it possible for you to manage your diabetes without insulin, then to me, that would be success if you were able to reach those milestones.
Mm-hmm. And I like how you share that with the community, because we here at Wellness Connection believe in bringing quality living to everyday life. And what that entails is the dimensions of every aspect of our lives, which you discuss. So tell us a little bit about what you do and how you impact the community today as a registered dietitian.
Okay, so currently I'm self-employed. I have a nutrition consulting business called Healthy Attitude. I provide nutrition services to people with disabilities. So all of my patients have some type of intellectual or developmental disability, and then most of them also have some type of physical disability. And my patients require all types of nutrition services. I've got people with heart disease, people with kidney disease, people with high blood pressure, diabetics. I've got some who receive tube feedings. So you name it, I've got it. My youngest patients are in their early 20s, and then my oldest patient is in his 90s.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. And so that's a very particular target market. What made you interested in persons with disabilities?
Well, that's something that I just sort of fell into. Mm-hmm. I started out working in hospitals, intensive care, a cancer unit. And then at a certain point, I guess you could say, I just burnt out. And I thought I wanted to be something different. I thought I wanted to be a massage therapist.
That's interesting.
So I studied massage and became a massage therapist. And then somebody asked me if I would do some nutrition consulting for their group home company. And took a little convincing, but I went to the group home and did the consulting and realized that I loved it. Mm-hmm. I still wanted to be a nutritionist. I just had to find my space.
Yes.
And so with that, I've just expanded. And now I have about 150 people that I provide services for. And every day is wonderful. I really love what I do. And it's very rewarding working with people with disabilities because it seems like the results that I get are somehow larger are bigger because this population needs it so much.
Mm-hmm. And working as an occupational therapist, I would agree. They are a unique, isolated group of population in the community that also has an impact in the community. They're part of us. So yes, I would agree. And I see the specialness and requires a special person who would actually draw to such a unique population.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It does because, you know, they communicate in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be willing to listen to understand what they need.
Yes, and that's correct because a lot of times they can't communicate in the standard form that we know it. Their communication can be expressed in so many different ways, non-verbally, mm-hmm. Through physical gesturing. Maybe through broken word. So yes, you have to tap in and really listen carefully to understand their needs.
Yeah.
And also to engage them in changing their lifestyle.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Very good. Thank you. But you have something special for the rest of the population in our community, and that's called weight loss. Now, that's a very hot topic, okay? Because it impacts not only how one feels, but it also impacts the number one killer in the world, which is heart disease. Do share.
Okay, so I really wanted to focus on weight management today because that's the next most frequent question people ask me when they find out I'm a dietitian. I need a dietitian. How can I lose weight? So I just wanted to cover some of the basics and maybe try to approach it in sort of a different angle so that people can have success with their weight management.
I'm sorry, but may I ask, when you say success with weight management, can you define that or have the audience understand what you mean by success?
Okay. So success can mean different things to different people. Everyone does not need to lose weight, but I always say if you're uncomfortable, be it you have some kind of condition, maybe arthritis or diabetes or high blood pressure, or if you have difficulty moving around because of your weight, then success would be relieving the discomfort or being able to move easier. For some people, they want to lose weight just so that they can fit into a certain outfit, or because they want to look better. So if you're able to get into that outfit, then that's success for you. So success means different things for different people. From a health professional standpoint, I'm all about improving conditions or eliminating the need for medication. So if losing 20 or 30 pounds is going to get you off that blood pressure medication, or make it possible for you to manage your diabetes without insulin, then to me, that would be success if you were able to reach those milestones.
Mm-hmm. And I like how you share that with the community because we here at Wellness Connection believe in bringing quality living to everyday life. And what that entails is the dimensions of every aspect of our lives, which you discuss. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to cover was, first of all, determining how much weight to lose if you've decided that you need to lose weight. So there are a number of ways you can figure that out. Of course, there are weight tables. There's the body mass index that tells you how much you should weigh based on what your height is.
And can you tell us a little bit more about that body mass index? What is that exactly?
Okay, so, well, let me just tell you why the body mass index is important as far as your health is concerned. Researchers have found that when your weight is within the normal range of the body mass index table, then your risk of chronic disease is less. Okay, so if you're within the normal range on that table, that means your risk of having high blood pressure is lower, your risk of getting diabetes is lower, your risk of acquiring certain weight-related cancers are lower. So it's actually protective to be in that normal range. And I have a lot of people come to me and say, well, that table wasn't designed for everybody. That's not for Black people. That's only for white people. But those ranges on the body mass index is an average of a variety of ethnicities and people. Yet it's not so good for people who are athletic, because it's going to assume that the weight of the athletic person is actually fat weight, when really it usually turns out to be muscle weight.
And I believe muscle weight weighs more than fat. Yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But for the average sedentary American, the body mass index can be a starting place as far as trying to figure out where you need to be with your weight.
Now, who established the body mass index? Who engineered it, and who set the bar for the body mass index?
There's a long history to that. And the beginnings of the body mass index started back in the 1800s with a scientist, but it really didn't come into a wider usage until like the 1980s. We can go on Wikipedia and look up all the details, but I didn't bring all those notes with me.
That's all right. Just to give the community some comfort in understanding that body mass, because it is, and I like how you added how certain cultures in the community feel like, no, that's not made for me. We're big boned, and no, that doesn't apply to me. And so I like how you educated the community that it does. It's a gauge, and it has its benefits, and it has its research in order to support what numbers they came up with. So,
I found that most skeletons look about the same. So that big boned thing, and you know,
exactly.
You know, I ain't never seen no fat skeleton.
Right,
but that's not true.
I mean, there is a fat skeleton.
No, I'm going to tell you.
It's not that, like, no. It's not like, I mean, it might be proportionally larger, but your femur is not going to be the size of, like, my...
Like a ham.
It's not going to be like a ham. It's not the bone. The issue is what's surrounding
tissue.
The bone.
Yes, right. And that's all correct, but I will add that, amazingly, as I dissected cadavers, there is big bones out there that are just contrast to some average standard bone. So there's some validity to that thought. However, it doesn't apply necessarily with the index because, Dimitri has educated us, that it has research and it has a majority of all, you know, different cultures from the vast, and so it does come up with some mathematical indication that it's appropriate, it's an average, it's a range.
It could be that those bones got big to try to compensate. Like, you know, the bones got big after the fact. They didn't start out big. They were stressed out. They're like, we gotta support all the situations going on here.
Yeah, but no no one reference is perfect for everyone. So again, you're kind of just using it as a starting point. And also, you can ask your physician, you know, his opinion on what weight you should be. And for some people, their weight goal should be based on their wardrobe. Is there something in your closet that you were able to wear last year that's too tight this year? Mm-hmm. If it's too tight this year, then do what you need to do to be able to get back into that outfit. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, some of it was too tight last year. And this year, you just became more self-conscious. You didn't get bigger. You just like,
I know. And don't blame it on the dryer shrinking your clothes.
It was too tight last year, but now you just feel a different way about it.
Right.
And I thank you, Dimitri, because I had a neighbor a number of years back, and she was a sizable woman, but that woman walked 10 times a day. And she was very energetic. And she didn't walk a mile. She walked about 5 to 10 miles every cycle she went out. And she says, I can never lose weight. She said, and yet I'm healthy. I have no comorbidities, no health issues. My doctor says, I'm in perfect health. She said, she just didn't like being big. So that's very interesting what we're talking about here. So we have all different body types as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Everyone is different. And like I said, everyone doesn't need necessarily to lose weight. If you're on the bigger side, but you're totally healthy, you're able to do everything you want or need to do, your self-esteem is A1, then you don't need to worry about it. But like I said, if it's affecting your self-esteem, you're depressed, if it's affecting your ability to get a good night's rest, if it's affecting your ability to have a good response to your medications, then yeah, you definitely need to set some goals. So I want to talk about setting realistic goals as well, because that's one of the things that tends to derail people. And especially when the goals that are set are number goals. And when I mean number goals, I mean talking about I'm going to lose 3 pounds a week, or I'm going to lose 50 pounds this year. When you start focusing in on numbers, you may end up missing the big picture.
I like how you brought that to the table, Dimitri. You ever heard of SMART? Where SMART is an acronym that helps to set goals, and SMART meaning S being specific, M meaning measurable, A meaning attainable, R meaning relevant, and T meaning timely. So you're touching a lot on what SMART goals are talking about.
Yes. Yeah, so that measurable piece is important, but again, I really discourage people from focusing in on numbers. So goals should be things like we spoke about earlier, being able to fit into a particular outfit or being able to walk a mile or two without getting winded, having your blood pressure go down. All of those things are measurable, and they are good goals to set. And then you'll realize that in the process of reaching those goals, the scale will show smaller numbers. Mm-hmm. And those things in themselves will have you feeling better about yourself. And that'll motivate you to continue on to get more results.
Yeah, I think that's another way of looking at it. The way things you're describing are almost like process goals versus outcome goals.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if you can, you can feel the difference, then like the outcome of the numbers going backwards is going to be a natural byproduct of that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So then after you figure out what your goals are going to be, the next question usually is, well, how do I do that? Mm-hmm. So people really have a lot of questions about what they should be eating. There's so much information out there on diets and what to avoid.
Yes.
And
yes.
Some are very complicated. I don't know if you've ever heard of the blood type diet.
No, that one's unfamiliar.
Where it's based on your blood type and you can only eat certain berries and certain types of starches. And it's really complicated and time consuming.
And stressful. That sounds very stressful.
Well, you know what? Some people need to run a gauntlet to feel like they're going to get success.
Okay.
So that diet has worked for some people, but not for most.
Yeah. Just as long as your blood type ain't barbecue. BBQ. No.
So, and then you have programs like Weight Watchers.
WWW. They've changed it.
It's
www.
Yeah.
Okay.
www.com. And I think it's probably.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was smart.
How many people know that?
Yeah.
Whoever, I know.
And who are you?
That's their new advertising campaign.
Okay.
So www.com, probably for what you're saying, like de-emphasizing the number of, like, weight as the number that they are watching.
Right.
So
right.
www.com is just more focused on lifestyle.
Lifestyle, yes. Exactly.
It is clever, but it's www.www.
Okay. So now we all know.
Right.
We all know.
So that's their new branding. And I think it is, like you said, more focused on lifestyle changes. And I don't know. It seems to me like it was before based on public shaming. But
that's interesting.
You got to get up and...
It was accountability. Accountability is something,
right.
Though...
Oh, yes.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, accountability... So, on like an interpersonal accountability, it is a very powerful thing. But if you're in front of a whole room full of people having all of that, that can kind of cross the line if you have a setback in front of everybody.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
But that can work. I mean, you know, it just depends on your personality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I think it works for some people. For some people, it's like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But people know what to expect when they join.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right,
they're
right.
told about all of that. So the people who are in there expect that. And they're ready for it.
You're going to get up there.
But, you know, that accountability is one of the things, one of the aspects of a successful weight loss program.
Right.
Even if you're not in a formal program, if you on your own are determined to drop a few dress sizes, finding someone to be accountable to is going to definitely stack the odds in your favor.
And it's so true. That's what that socialization relationship comes into play with the dimensions of quality living, and having some accountability from someone you care about or someone who you have to now answer to.
Right. Or somebody you're going to see regularly.
Yes, very regular.
I always say find a coworker or, you know, somebody at the gym, somebody at your church.
Yes.
Right.
Who you need to check in with.
Yes.
And that's going to keep you on track. People who try to lose weight alone, isolated in a vacuum, tend to get discouraged frequently and don't tend to follow through to their goal.
Yes.
So that accountability, I think, is very important.
Mm-hmm. When you when you just said it, that statement, what popped into my mind was that when you are not really honed into your goal that particular day because you've just had things come at you from all angles and you're pretty much stressed out. Stressed is that potential flight and fight situation. And so sometimes we tend to fly because, I'm nothing. I can't make this happen. Look at me. I did this all week. Now I messed it up. There is no point to continue on. I mean, if you don't have someone to break that cycle and gremlin thinking, we call it, that voice, that wicked voice that says you can't do this. See, I told you. It's going to set you back if somebody's not knocking on that door and says, yes, you can do it. Come on. It's okay.
Absolutely,
we can do this.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Or if somebody's, you know, waiting for you at the gym, that's going to be more motivation when you're tired to put your exercise clothes on and go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your family knows that you're supposed to be eating what, vegetables and whole grains, and you come in with that Popeyes. If you're accountable right, to your like, family members, you know, when they start giving you that look.
Especially grandma.
You know, that can definitely help, you know, keep you on track.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, nobody's perfect. And even when you see these before and after pictures of people who have lost 100 pounds or 150 pounds, you know, every day for them wasn't great.
Mm-mm.
You know, I'm sure they've had days where they just dived headfirst into the cupcakes or, you know, ate a rack of ribs at a picnic.
Right.
But the whole key is, you know, self-love and self-forgiveness so that you can get back on track and keep it moving.
And habits are hard to break. You know, our prefrontal lobe, which is our intellectual part of the brain, it requires time to process in the, you know, actually direct pathways, neural pathways, to have your autonomic nervous system to now change how it thinks. It's that looping hole that has to be cracked, and it requires time. And so habits normally take, what, 3 to 6 months sometimes to change?
Or longer.
Mm-hmm. Or longer.
It can take longer or it can take less.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that a lot of people don't realize is the easiest time to break a habit is when you're on vacation. When your whole routine has been disrupted, it's easier to stop doing things you don't want to do and to get on a better track.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually recommend to people, if you're going on a trip or some kind of medical conference, if your routine is going to get shaken up in a significant way, then that's the time to start your exercise program. That's the time to start your diet, because it's going to be easier to stop doing, you know, the negative things and to start doing more positives.
I like that, because the limbic system, which I was talking about earlier, most definitely now quiets down, because now your higher learning is saying, what? Okay, what are we doing?
Right.
Oh, I have to think about the process of the day. So yes, I could see that as being very effective.
So putting new year, new me, that doesn't.
Well, you know how that goes. Those resolutions, how right about what, January 21st?
I mean, you know.
I'm not doing that anymore.
I think it would be interesting, because you mentioned the before and after thing.
Mm-hmm.
People, I think those, that's a very powerful thing. But like, what if you put the before, before you gain the weight, and the after is like, this is before, this is after. Like, you never see it the other way. When people do before and after, it's always like, look where I came from.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not like, look where I got to. It's like,
no, or look where I'm going.
Yeah.
And I do encourage people who have, you know, more than 10 pounds to lose. If there's a picture of you when you were at the weight you want to be, you know, put that picture on the refrigerator or by the bathroom mirror. You know, again, if there's an outfit you want to get into, take it out. You know, if you want to fit back into your wedding dress, pull it out of the closet and put it where you can see it every day.
Yeah.
So that when you're having a rough day and you're not feeling like you're making any progress, you can look at that picture or that outfit or that person you want to impress, and it can help motivate you. So there are a variety of ways that you can be motivated. But I really wanted to focus in also on what you should eat if you're trying to lose weight. And I don't want to really get into all the calorie counting and the different types of diets, but I just wanted to reemphasize what everyone already knows. If you want to lose weight and manage your weight well, eat a lot of vegetables. Okay. Vegetables are the way to go. They have plenty of antioxidants that are going to be protective against heart disease and other things. All the vitamins and minerals you need are in the colorful vegetables, tomatoes, broccoli, the salads. They're low in calories. They're high in fiber, so they're going to help you feel full as you go on your weight loss journey.
And also keep the pipes clean.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's going to enhance your bowel function. Mm-hmm. So all of those things are going to be absolutely beneficial to you. So vegetables should be at the top of the list. They should be the focus of every meal that you have. You shouldn't eat a meal without some type of vegetable. And that includes breakfast. And a good way to incorporate vegetables into your breakfast is with smoothies. You can have a smoothie that has apples and carrots and pineapples. So you've got fruits and vegetables in your breakfast blend. All right, so vegetables should be the focus. And then after you've gotten your vegetables taken care of, the starches you eat should be whole grain. So you want to go with a whole grain bread, brown rice, maybe try some new grains like bulgur or couscous. Mm-hmm. So whatever grains or starches you choose, the portions of those still should be small. And then it's good to have legumes like your kidney beans, your black-eyed peas, your black beans.
Aduki beans.
Yes, aduki beans. There you go.
Okay.
Yes. That's an inside joke.
Yes.
Yeah, it must be pinto beans. So all of those kinds of, again, we're looking at whole foods, and you'll notice that most of the things that I've named to this point are plant-based. Mm-hmm. So your plant-based diet is going to be your healthier, and it's going to be easier for you to lose weight when you focus on plant-based diet. Mm-hmm. Now there is a place for protein in weight loss, too, because you need that. So good sources of protein are going to be your fish, your lean meats, like chicken and turkey. If you're a vegetarian, you know, go for the tofu. I know gluten has a dirty name right now, but gluten actually can be very helpful for you. And the Asians tend to use that quite a bit in their cooking. Gluten is pretty basically a fat-free, high-protein food item. So if you don't have a digestive disorder, then incorporating some gluten into your diet is actually a very helpful thing to do, which a lot of people don't realize. So once you've done that, you want to keep your portions of vegetables very high and your portions of meat and starch low. So usually, if you're familiar with my plate, half the plate should be, you know, vegetables. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have smaller portions of starch and protein. And it should all fit on a plate. So no heaping the plate, no having the plate overflow. Okay.
Right. No, big styrofoam fold-up clothes. No,
exactly.
So it sounds like we're focusing on the first half of the you name it thing, not the second half of the you name it, the song you name it, where she's listing off.
Look! I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, ribs, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, rabbit.
She starts with the vegetables, then she gets to the ham and stuff at the last one. So we focus on the first half.
Right.
That's going to be a
challenge. You're coming up with all these things I never heard of.
You're
going to have to play that for me, though. I need to know about that.
Are you familiar with the You Name It challenge?
Yes, when you're actually singing it. Yeah. Right. I do.
There's a whole bunch of people dancing to it. Trap you up, talk to you. Don't worry about it. It's going to go.
Okay.
It's going to go.
And then the other thing is drink a lot of water. Mm. I usually recommend that before eating a meal or having a snack, drink a cup of water, 8 ounces of water. And then eat your meal. And then you should be satisfied with that. Snacks in between meals. Find ways, again, to incorporate vegetables, maybe carrot or celery sticks, a salad. Just finding little ways to get the vegetables in are going to help you cover a lot of ground. Mm-hmm. Then the other aspect of weight reduction that's just as important as what you eat is what you do. And what you should be doing is activity. Mm-hmm. And I say activity as opposed to exercise because When you say exercise, a lot of people curl up their face and say, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to sweat. I don't want to be in pain. I don't want some trainer barking at me at the gym. Mm-hmm. I don't want to exercise.
I don't even want to go to the gym. A lot of people don't like the gym.
No, mm-hmm. a lot of people don't like the gym. So when I say activity, what I mean is just move. Get your body moving. Mm-hmm. And it can be something as simple as playing hopscotch with your kids, okay? Go out and play with your children, mm-hmm. okay? Yeah.
Teach your kids to play hopscotch.
If they don't
know. It is a lost art.
I know, because a lot of, that's why there are a lot of obese children out mm-hmm. there. They sit at the computer and they mm-hmm. play video games, and they don't know how to play like we did back in the day. Mm-hmm. The double dodge, the yes, hopscotch. The hula hoop,
yes,
right,
yes.
The jump rope. Okay, all of those are activities that burn a gang of calories,
yes.
a lot of calories. And the thing about playing with your children is you're burning calories and you don't even kind of realize it's happening. It doesn't feel like
exactly
exercise. Mm-hmm.
The laughter alone burns calories. I don't recall how much, but I know laughter itself also is a part of that calorie burning feature.
Mm-hmm. So many things burn calories. People don't even realize chewing gum burns calories,
yes.
okay? Fidgeting, pacing. You know, if you develop a pacing habit, mm-hmm. you're going to burn calories. That's going to help you with your weight loss goals.
Question, what about breathing, you know? Because, you know, the inhalation of oxygen and actually how the, you know, the Krebs cycle, everything, how the oxygen affects our body and how it actually breaks down all the material we have in our body from food, you know, with the oxygen and the flow of blood.
Right. So you're talking, it sounds
that's
like
probably
you're
I think that probably counts into the resting metabolism.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. the resting metabolic rate yeah, that yeah. she's right. referring to.
Because you don't
to.
Have an option.
No.
You gotta breathe.
Exactly. And your heart's gotta beat and all that. So that is your resting metabolic mm-hmm. rate. And now scientific studies are showing that when you're on a weight management program, you need to eat at least enough calories to support your metabolic rate. You know, mm-hmm. some diet programs out here recommend you eating, 500 calories a day for the first week or 2 weeks. Well, that's not going to be enough to support the calories your body need to keep your heart beating, mm-hmm. keep your lungs pumping, you know, keep those arteries moving the blood around. Mm-hmm. So that's important. How do you know what your resting metabolic rate is? You can get it tested. And a lot of people don't realize that, but you can actually find out how many calories your body burns at rest. Mm-hmm. Most universities have a lab, and members of the public can pay. It's usually $100 or less. Mm-hmm. And you can pay to go there and figure out what your metabolic rate is at rest. I did it, mm-hmm. and I was actually pleased.
And you were pleased, yes.
So all of these people out here who think, you know, I have a slow metabolism, you can actually verify whether it's slow or not. Mm-hmm. And chances are 9 times out of 10, there's nothing wrong with your metabolism. Mm-hmm. It's all a matter of your activity level and your food choices.
With the exception of certain conditions like thyroid,
right,
that impacts your metabolism.
Right, but that's not common.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people out there thinking that thyroid conditions are common, mm-hmm. And maybe even hereditary depending on your ethnicity. There are a lot of Black people out there who believe that at a certain age, their metabolism is slow.
And then their bones get big.
And that's why, I know, and that's why they're getting bigger.
And that's why their bones get big.
But no, so those conditions do exist, but they're more rare than people realize. Mm-hmm. And if you just get out there and move, you'd be surprised at what a difference it makes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, most definitely.
So activity is very important. Mm-hmm. And for some people, exercise is the way to go. Going to the gym is right for them because, as we were talking about accountability, mm-hmm. you know, that becomes their accountability. Other people who are at the gym,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you can play with your kids. You can go to the gym. You can take a dance class.
You can walk.
You can right
in the parking lot a lot further instead of making sure you get that first parking spot in the driveway.
Right, or walk your dog, or walk somebody else's dog,
with their permission.
Right, whatever it is. But the key is to get moving, and. The reason why exercise is so important is it's your muscle tissue that burns calories.
Yes.
Okay. Fat does not burn any calories.
It stores calories.
So
it stores
exactly. Yes. It's a storage. Yeah. Exactly.
It loves to store in the arteries as well. So that's where a lot of the comorbidities and the diseases come from.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So the more muscle mass you're able to put on during the process of your weight loss, then the odds are you're going to keep that weight off because you've built muscle that's going to keep burning calories mm-hmm. even after you kind of normalize your diet intake.
Most definitely. Yes. Okay. If we may, can we circle back around to smoothies? Because you... suggested that that's a great way to ingest vegetables, especially in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked a little bit about adding fruits. Let's talk a little bit about fruits and how does that impact calories in the larger scheme of things, and how much fruit should we be ingesting? I know a lot of people love to do fruit smoothies, just totally fruit smoothies. What's the impact on how does that look with losing weight?
So I usually recommend that fruits should be your dessert when you're trying to lose weight. Fruit does have natural sugar. It has the fructose in it. And so the calories from that fructose are going to contribute to your daily caloric intake. So fruits are not a free food. Those of you who are familiar with some programs with free foods, fruits are not a free food. Most vegetables are. So it's a good idea to have your fruits as the dessert to kind of add that satiety at the end of the meal. It's good to incorporate some fruit in with your breakfast because it's going to give you a boost of energy. That natural sugar is going to give you that boost of energy that you may want to start your day off with.
Mm-hmm.
But you should not plan to eat unlimited amounts of fruit during the course of your weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
I usually recommend 2 to 3 fruit servings max during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes juice. A lot of people take in a lot of calories as orange juice or apple juice or grape juice. They figure it's the healthy beverage. And it is a better choice than soda or lattes or things like that. But you can consume a lot of calories from juice and not realize the impact it's having on your weight. So when you consider what your 3 fruit servings are going to be, remember that a half a cup of fruit juice is equal to one of those fruit servings.
Mm-hmm.
And are you really going to just drink a half a cup?
Right. I mean, who does that anymore?
You know, you got that big old tumbler of orange juice. So, yeah, that's all your fruit for today.
That's right. That's right. And speaking of like fruit juice, a lot of people are heavy because they drink a lot of sugary beverages. Sodas, like one serving size bottle of Pepsi is like 280 calories, which is a lot of calories for something that you drink. And
quick.
And it's
they're quick, too.
And it's not.
Yes, quick.
And if you're hungry, it's not going to satisfy your hunger at all. So, you know, it's a better idea to maybe have a 280 calorie turkey sandwich and then drink water with that or some sugar-free beverage because you're going to get satisfaction from eating that turkey sandwich.
If you learn how to drink carbonated water, then that, a lot of people just like that bubbly sensation in
yes.
their mouth.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I did, especially when my kids were really young, was extremely dilute the juice with sparkling water.
Yes.
So it tasted almost like a soda, but it was just like a little splash of juice in there, mostly water. And they loved it. And it wasn't too much. It wasn't really Sweet.
And that's a good strategy. And I use that with a lot of my patients who don't like plain water.
Right.
So we add a little juice to one of the flavored waters, and there are a lot of them out on the market now. And they're fine with that. They're happy with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even if it's not, like, even if it's not flavored, just the bubbles.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
It's just the bubbles.
It's just the bubbles. The experience.
Just feel like you're not just drinking tap water. It feels like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're having fun. I think flavored carbonated water does that. I tend to drink a little bit of it myself just for the diversity, a little bit of fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It makes the meal seem special or the beverage seem special. Mm-hmm.
It's like champagne.
Talk about champagne.
Not quite.
Well, champagne, I understand, has very light calories. So,
Yeah, but it's...
I don't know about that. The calories you consume from alcoholic beverages tend to be metabolized as fat calories. And another thing is that there's something about the metabolism of alcohol that impacts your body's ability to burn fat.
Very interesting.
Especially abdominal fat. So people who are really serious about, you know, their weight loss program, they have a goal that they definitely want to reach. One thing that you need to try to cut out are all alcoholic beverages.
Mm-hmm. Well, that also includes wine, because there's a lot of research that indicates wine, red wine in particular, has many benefits that will actually, that has antioxidants and will lower your risk for heart disease and also for...
But weight loss is not one of the benefits.
That's what I want.
You can get those same benefits from drinking pomegranate juice or having grape juice. Or,
right, it doesn't have to be wine.
It doesn't have to be wine. And then you don't have the negatives associated with wine. Because wines also tend to have a lot of calories, especially the sweeter ones, like the Moscato and the Prosecco.
Yes.
You can rack up a lot of sugary calories from drinking that wine.
Yeah.
Stay off the ripple.
Yeah. Yep.
No Muscatel.
Okay. Well, we have an expert in the house.
You do tell.
Oh, I'm not really much of a drinker anymore. I had my moment with it, but I'm chilling.
You're chilling. Okay.
All right. So once you get your exercise going.
Your activity.
And you get that right combination of foods, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and proteins, and you see you're making progress towards your goal, you need to also consider what kind of lifestyle changes you need to put in place to keep that weight off. Because anybody who's trying to lose weight knows how hard it is and how time consuming it is. And it's so much easier to put the weight on than to take it off.
Most definitely. Especially as we mature.
Exactly. So as you're approaching your goals, you need to really put some thought into keeping that weight off. Mm-hmm. You can't go back to the way you used to eat and expect to stay small. Okay. So keep in mind, the things that you did to get the weight off are the things you need to continue to do.
This is your life now.
To keep the weight off, right?
This is your life now. Mm-hmm.
This is your life.
This is your life.
So it's important to pick activities and discover foods that you can live with for the long term.
Yes.
Exactly.
Right. And that's a very important piece you just brought to the table about activities that you engage in that you find exciting and fruitful. Because if you're not engaged because you're just doing it for the moment, you're going to lose interest.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And being consistent is so, so important. There are people at the beginning of the year who decide that this is their year.
Gung-ho.
This is their year to get into that size 10.
New year, new me.
And they join the gym and they go maybe 2 or 3 days in a row. Nice. And they stay in there for 3 hours.
Tear every muscle up in the world.
Right. And they're hurting. And they don't go back.
Yes,
whereas it's better to start slow and be consistent, go if you only spend 20 minutes in mm-hmm. there, that's fine as long as you do that 20 minutes every other day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then as you start to see progress, of course, you need to increase the amount of activity you mm-hmm. do because your body will adjust.
Yes.
And if you want to avoid that plateau, you need to increase the amount of exercise you do, the time or the intensity.
To keep getting those results.
Mm-hmm. Don't try to starve yourself. Don't skip yes. meals. You should eat healthfully every day. And plan your cheat. Mm-hmm. I usually tell people if you know you have a birthday coming up, or if you're going to a wedding reception or a party, you can start planning for that 5 days out. Go to the gym an extra day,
yes.
okay? Run an extra mile, okay? Maybe cut out a few calories in advance to plan for that dietary splurge. And if you do that, you're not going to lose ground and you won't get discouraged because you didn't get sideswiped. Mm. You planned for it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And it's a journey. I mean, everything's about the journey and also finding out more about yourself. And I like when you said about lifestyle change and how that's all have to be a part of this.
Right.
Yes, this has to be a part of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you'll feel good. As you get results, you'll want to make the healthy changes. You'll feel good. Mm-hmm. I had two clients who've made some remarkable progress since I started working with them. One of my clients, her family, they didn't know anything about healthy eating or nutrition mm-hmm. or portion sizes or anything like that. So each time I met with them, I gave them just a little tidbit about one topic. Let's talk about vegetables, which, you know, let's do a taste testing of mm-hmm. different vegetables that you've never tried before. Mm-hmm. So we did that. Another time I would talk about snacks. Here's some healthy snacks from the store, the baked Lay's potato chips, mm-hmm. the rice cakes. Let's do another taste testing.
How did they feel about the rice cakes?
Thumbs down. They didn't like the rice cakes, but they did like the rice crackers.
You remember mm-hmm. That commercial? No more bread and butter.
Yes.
Yes, yes, I remember that.
Crackers.
Yeah. You're dating us.
I told you I was going to throw it out in front of something.
Yes, so we talked about how to make each meal healthful. We tackled a meal at, you know, each session. And so now they're telling me about, you know, new healthy things that they've been trying.
Awesome.
The bulgur, and we got couscous, yeah. and, you know, their breakfasts are remarkable. They come up with these really healthy. We talked about smoothies and mm-hmm. breakfast cereals, and they're eating things that they never imagined that they mm-hmm. would eat, mm-hmm. things that they thought of as grass before.
Right, right.
But now they're loving it, and every time they discover a new wholesome food, it's a thrilling event for them. Mm-hmm. Then I had another client. He had insulin-dependent diabetes. He had to take insulin 3 times a day, plus a pill, a hypoglycemic agent. He had high cholesterol. He was about 60 pounds overweight. Mm-hmm. He saw a commercial for Nutribullet, and he said, I want that. And we were all skeptical. You're not going to do that.
Right.
Because that involves, you don't even like vegetables. The Nutribullet is for blending fruits and vegetables into a smoothie. You're not going to do it. He said, yeah, yes, I am.
Wow.
I want
mm-hmm.
that. Mm-hmm. So he took his money. He went out. He got a Nutribullet. Mm-hmm. The same day they bought just a ton of all kinds of vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
He himself made the smoothies because he loved, like, working the machine.
Right.
And after he made the smoothies, he would drink them.
Mm-hmm.
He would have the smoothies for breakfast and lunch every day and then ate a regular dinner. Within 8 months, no more insulin.
Wow.
No more hypoglycemic agent.
Wow.
His cholesterol went down to normal. His LDLs went down to normal. Wow. He was happy, very active, and he loved telling people about, you know, his Nutribullet. So you never know what's going to work for someone, and you should never discourage people on trying something that they think is going to work for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see looking, you know, outward, the machine itself probably excited him. I want to press that button.
Exactly.
No, you press it from the top.
Oh, from the top. Right.
Right. Yeah. Press down and it spins.
Oh, it's been too.
The novelty of the machine gave him the motivation to actually consume the fruits and vegetables, and it was those plant-based foods that he was eating that he hadn't been eating before. That's that wonderful. Made all the difference, and it was filling for him.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, nutrition is filling. Like, if you get the nutrition, you're not as hungry.
It's if you get the fiber. Yes, yeah, the high fiber foods.
It does that. Mm-hmm. I do that with nuts. Mm-hmm. I tend to chew on nuts a lot, and so I can have 5 nuts, and I am full.
Yeah.
And but that's, again, that's a lot of protein. It's more protein.
It's a good snack,
it's fiber as well. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I'm always on the go. I'm going to be honest. I try to eat my breakfast. It's usually a small breakfast, and then I'll do a smoothie once or twice a week, and then I'll do a meal. But I tend to, because of my lifestyle right now, eat a little late than is suggested. So, but I most definitely am in the gym, though. So, counteract a lot of that. But I enjoy the gym. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to be in the gym 4 o'clock in the morning every day at one time, but as we change our lifestyles and what our interests are, we change with it as well.
Right. So, yeah, I don't like the gym.
You don't like the gym?
I have a gym membership for days when I can't exercise outside.
There you go. Okay.
But I love to hike.
Yeah, so do I.
And I'll hike 2 or 3 times a week.
Yeah.
3 or 4 miles. And then if it's raining or, you know, snowing real hard, then I'll go to the gym. And when I go to the gym, I take a class. Mm-hmm. I can't do that treadmill or that elliptical. Feel like a mouse in a cage. So I do.
Looking at the wall.
Yeah, I do a class, and I don't want anybody to do better than me in a class.
Oh, so you're competitive.
So yeah, I'm competitive. And I push myself because I want to be impressive, and that works for me as far as getting... Yeah. The exercise. And a lot of people think, oh, since you're a dietitian, you must do everything perfectly. You must eat perfectly. You must. And that is not the case. I wish it were, but that's not the case. I mean, I love fried chicken and french fries.
Oh, that's mine.
Love potato chips. I could eat chips every day of the week. So I'm human like everyone else. But moderation also is very important. And that's why I try not to talk calories too much or specific portions too much. It's about learning to be moderate, learning when to stop. Most people, they eat until they're full, until their bellies are tight, and they're miserable after they stop. Mm-hmm. And people need to get back to listening to your bodies. Mm-hmm. You eat until you're no longer hungry. You don't eat until you're full. Right.
Why?
Right. I don't do that ever again.
I know. You need to take your time, eat slow, chew your food well, and when the hunger pains stop, it's when you need to stop eating, as opposed to eating until you're full. Or a lot of things that I notice that women do, especially women with children, they will finish up the food on their children's plate after they've eaten their food.
Wow.
To prevent wasting.
Yes, yeah, because especially, is that a cultural impact? Because I know that, you know, in most ethnic homes, that has been, you know, growing up, you better eat everything on that plate. Exactly. I don't care if you like it or you don't. Eat it.
Probably more class-based than cultural, because anybody who's been in a situation where you're thinking about providing the food, the idea of wasting it is much more of a big deal than if you are getting courses and, you know.
Sure.
That, you know. Mm-hmm. If there's always been plenty and your experience is always a plenty, mm-hmm. you're less likely to try to eat every bite.
Yeah.
Because you know there's going to be more coming. But if it's in the back of your head and like, mm-hmm. I don't know when this next one's going to come, mm-hmm. I got to like store mm-hmm. it in my body.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know? Right. But eating more food than you need is actually another form of wasting. Mm-hmm. If you right. eat those calories and you like get that. Real big and then you yes. have to do all well, that work to get it off.
You're trying to eat yeah. for the future.
No.
I mean, that's what you're trying to do. That's
where that thought that pattern, idea, okay.
You know, I'm eating sure. for the future.
Uh-huh. Store for tomorrow's.
Right, right.
Okay.
As if you're not going to be hungry again. Like you're comparing, it's this thing where you're comparing the discomforts. There's mm-hmm. a discomfort of hunger mm-hmm. and the discomfort mm-hmm. of having too much.
Mm-hmm.
So neither one of those are comfortable.
Right.
But most people, if they're picking between the two, they'll opt for having too much because mm-hmm. at least they feel like, well, at least, you know, somehow in your mind, you think it's going to hold you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's a, I mean, I know that's a psychological and emotional construct that's wired into the relationship that people have with food.
Yes.
That can go kind of deep depending on what your life experiences mm-hmm. and have been. But yeah, mm-hmm. can't eat for the future.
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
That doesn't work. Not if you mm-hmm. want to maintain a healthy weight.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So moderation is really the key. If I had to say anything, I would mm-hmm. say be moderate in everything. In your exercise and your eating. And then also think of ways that you can have your social interactions and your social gatherings not be focused around food.
Very interesting. Okay. Because that can be cultural based. A lot of cultures feel that food brings family together.
Sure. And it's the low-hanging fruit when you're planning an event, right? if you have a lot of good food at the event, it doesn't matter if the music is lousy or if the entertainment is awful. If there's good food there, you know, people will be content with mm-hmm. the event. But one of the things I do when I have friends over, sure, we may have like snacks there or some type of foods there, but I pull out the games. You know, we mm-hmm. play Taboo Very and nice. Pictionary mm-hmm. and, you know, other games. So the focus is not on the food, mm-hmm. it's us interacting together.
Mm-hmm. At least as far as you know, they might leave it like, oh, you little quack snacks.
Yeah. No, now I gotta go eat.
I missed a meal. I thought she was gonna feed.
And for me, I go to family events because I really don't cook a lot, and so I mean, you know, that's my opportune time.
Bring foil, huh? Bring
yes, I do.
You know, but that's also a good idea to bring your containers.
Yes,
so
that's exactly what I do.
You don't feel forced mm-hmm. to have to eat. You know,
correct.
This is all I'm gonna get of these. Yep. You know, chitlins or pig feet. So, you know, I'm gonna get it. In. No, bring your containers, right? And one thing I do too, when I go out to eat mm-hmm. at a restaurant, especially if I'm going someplace where the portions are big, mm-hmm. at the time when I order my food,
mm-hmm. order the doggy bag.
That's right.
Yeah, that's smart.
And when
I like
the plate
it.
Comes, I take, you know, I put some in the container before I start eating, and yes. that's going to be my next meal.
Yes, that's awesome.
And then I eat what's left that's on the plate.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. I'll snag that one.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Very good. Any other brilliant thoughts you want to share with us and how we can impact our lifestyle with nutrition and lose weight?
You know, I could go on and on. Another thing that I think is really important is finding constructive ways to manage your stress. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people out there are stress eaters.
Yes.
And again, eating is the easiest way to kind of distract yourself from whatever's mm-hmm. bothering you. Mm-hmm.
And also, if I can add, I'm sorry, we all want pleasure.
Sure.
You know, and so sometimes food brings you pleasure. You're going through all this turmoil in your environment, and the only one thing is that nice French fry or that Big Mac or that fried piece of chicken.
Yeah, why are they doing that right now? Like, So they're putting bacon on Big Macs now.
Mm. What?
For a limited time.
Oh. Mm. Mm.
Why are they doing that, right?
You know, bacon's a fad food now.
Everybody?
Everybody seems like people are really into bacon these
right.
days.
You know, last year, was it Burger King had the bacon sundae?
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Bacon and chocolate sundae.
My goodness.
That sounds awful.
I know. But
that does.
I'm here to tell you.
Oh, no. No, he's not.
Disregard this. Just plug your ears, say la la la, because this is we're talking about healthy things. So just disregard this part. So, you know, salty and sweet works, right?
Yeah. Oh so, yeah, the combination is effective.
So
yeah. Yeah,
the bacon, yeah, the bacon sundae, it was a thing. It had a moment there.
Wow. That's
and I have a friend who she's very much into eating chocolate covered bacon.
Well, that's what it is. It's basically it was bacon chocolate sundae.
I tried it, and I really didn't like the combination. And right. the thing mm-hmm. is, bacon is like, I don't like saying that certain foods are bad and certain things are good.
Right,
but bacon, salt, it's fat, and it's that artery clogging fat. Mm-hmm. There's not much protein in it.
I was going to ask you, is there any...
No, and then there are the preservatives they use to, you know, the nitrates. Mm. So, bacon. Why bacon?
I know. Yeah, bacon's been around a long time, and it's sticking around, it sounds like.
People love their bacon.
Yeah, yeah. It's just one of those choices that
right. Right.
it's just always going to be in the middle of the table
yeah.
somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, until, again... I've eaten bacon and I've enjoyed bacon in my past. I don't necessarily have the interest anymore. Mm-hmm. But again, lifestyle changes encourages you to have a different acquired taste for foods. So, right. you know, with time, who knows? But they don't, mm-hmm. I guess bacon does not want to lose its authority.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that you should never have bacon, but this excessive consumption of bacon,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
it's, just couldn't be good for the population.
Mm-hmm. You got to know that it really doesn't have any potential intake of benefits. No nutritional benefits.
I mean, you get the satisfaction of the flavor,
right. mm-hmm.
you know, so that's okay. fine. Mm-hmm. But one or two strips, you know, but this bacon has become a cultural necessity.
Right.
And that's what I think is not so mm-hmm. great.
It's a flavor crutch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, it's a mm-hmm. flavor crutch. So it's like if you could just throw some bacon in there,
it fixes it.
It fixes it.
Mm-hmm. You're, and that's a good point, Jared. It does add flavor. It can take change a dish from average to amazing. And I've seen that.
But again, that's the low-hanging fruit because you know, herbs and spices are flavor fixers as well.
Right.
You know, the chilies, the cilantro, the parsley. Mm-hmm. But it takes a little bit more effort
right.
to yeah. incorporate that and get it to work. But it can work and work very
yes,
effectively.
I agree.
You know, I love onions.
Oh,
I put onions and garlic in almost anything that's savory.
Mm-hmm.
And it tends to work very well.
One of my spices I'm enjoying now is curry.
Mm-hmm.
I am just adding curry on everything, and it just maximizes the flavor. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, people's like, oh, you added curry? Let me taste it. Oh, that's really good. I mean, so you can be very creative with spices.
Sure,
you know?
And I just discovered zaatar.
Zaatar?
It's a Middle Eastern spice blend.
Writing that down.
And I love it. That works on everything. Meats, vegetables, fish, salads, beans.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. It's got some ginger and garlic.
Mm,
and,
I love ginger.
You yeah. know, mm-hmm. other spices in there. So you can... add flavor without the bacon.
Yes.
It'll just take a little bit more effort, but it'll be worth it.
Yes. Turmeric was something I just recently tried, and that was, it gave a powerful impact
yeah.
on what I cooked,
mm-hmm.
amazingly. Yeah, so you're right. Yeah, I mean, you just have to be a little creative, and you have to give it time to explore, and you'll find your right mix.
Right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Even lemon juice.
Oh, lemon juice,
you know,
yes.
It can really wake up the flavor of things.
Mm-hmm. You're correct. She's correct about that. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Very nice. Wow.
So the last gem that I'd like to share.
Oh, so now you calling them gems? You're going to ride with that?
Yeah. I'm going to steal yours. One of the things, too, that I find very helpful, especially when I'm, like, determined to reach a goal in a certain amount of time, is spend time with my healthy friends.
Mm. Yeah, the people. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Relationships can be impactful.
My friends who already have it down as a lifestyle,
yes.
Who are, you know, into activities and into eating great,
mm-hmm.
you know, the more time I spend with them,
mm-hmm.
the easier it is.
Yes.
Because it's like you're with your tribe and you belong.
Right, right.
You know, it doesn't hurt at all. So think about that.
Very good point.
And if you're having a hard time with your diet, think about who are you hanging out with.
Right, that's true.
Because your friends subconsciously influence you in ways that you don't even realize.
Mm-hmm. Yes, socially. They did a research with at Harvard and how social friends impact choices and mm-hmm. decisions. It's very powerful.
Yeah.
And it's so migrating. You can have one person that's setting a tone and can influence over 100 people.
Sure.
You know, so yes, very good point she brought to that table. Yeah. So choose your friends wisely.
Mm-hmm. So I think we've covered like every area
and some.
Of weight management. I know.
If yeah, you're... A lot of great points. I don't know can people reach you, or do you have a way for people to find out more about you, or are you got a waiting list for clients? Are you, web presence you're trying to get popped off?
I've got more than enough clients right mm-hmm. now, but I usually will refer people to the website for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, the eatright.org. If you have nutrition questions about anything, they have a wealth of information there for just regular consumers or medical professionals. There's something there for everyone. And if you have a question, they definitely have the answer.
Eatright.org.
.org. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Good. Well, it's Dimitri Whitmore. We really appreciate your visit here at the Wellness Connection. A lot of impactful information from not just from weight control, but also for a lifestyle change and a quality of living. And so we want to thank you. Anything you want to leave with our podcast listeners before you leave?
No, well, thank you for having me. And I think this is a wonderful resource you're providing to your listeners.
Thank you.
And so everybody should stay tuned in. There's a lot more good stuff coming.
Thanks a lot. All right, podcast listeners, we'll catch you later.
The Wellness Connection podcast is brought to you by Hale Wellness, a social and interactive platform where we connect our community to local businesses, organizations, and individuals who have tools, services, and programs that nurture the mind, body, and spirit. Engage in awareness by taking our free wellness assessment and take first steps towards optimizing your wellness. Visit wellnessconnection.health.